It is wonderful to be in the house of the Lord to worship Him. To worship Him. He is perfect in all His ways. Hallelujah. Glory to God Most High. Well, maybe this morning you've come in and you've experienced winter in Florida. I was so thankful when the Lord brought us to Zephyr Hills, and that I had a common bond with the pastor whom I served with, who believed that anything under 70 degrees is cold. And I concur with that, and so grateful. Glad that you are here. So thankful. I learned something just this week about my mother, who has been with the Lord for many, many years now. But she, as many of you know, was a coffee drinker, loved to drink coffee. It's passed on to me, of course. But my mom had this habit that she would have a cup of coffee, pour it, and then she would forget where she put it. And then a little bit later, she'd get a new cup of coffee because she forgot where she put her cup of coffee, and she'd go around the house and then put that one down and forget where she'd put it. And then a little bit later, she'd get another cup of coffee, of course, and a new cup, and she would forget where she put it. And I thought, well, she's just being forgetful. But I think she was just trying to warm her hands up because it was so cold at times. So sometimes I find myself going for a cup of coffee just to hold the mug to warm my hands up. But we're so thankful that you are here and so grateful that we can gather together in the Lord's name. We have studied a new study from the book of Isaiah. And if you've been with us, continue to be with us. I encourage you to dive into this book. We're not going to hit every word for word. It would take a long time, but it's worth digging into. And we're going to just move along and highlight this wonderful book. It has been by some called the Bible within the Bible because it is made up of 66 chapters. And in the Bible, we have 66 books. There is a division in the book from chapters 1 through 39 is sort of the prophecy oracles of Isaiah. And he's talking there. Then the flavor changes in chapter 40 through 66 a little bit there and so forth. In the Bible, we have books 1 through 39, which is sort of the Old Covenant. And in the New Testament, we have another 27 that speaks about. So it's exciting to see how God's Word just really orchestrates what His message is. And what is God's message? What is His story? Is it not that He so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life? That's God's story. And if this morning it should warm our hearts to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God loves you. God loves you. God still loves you. What's amazing about God's love is He loves you. He loves your family member. He loves that distant cousin that you can't get along with. He loves that stranger on the street. He loves that person that cuts you off in traffic. He loves that individual that happens to have a vocabulary that you're not very fond of, that just kind of unleashes at you to degrade you, no matter what their age is. He loves people. He's still in the loving business. And through His mercy, yes, through His grace, He reveals who He is to these people that He's made in His likeness called humanity. And He somehow, amazingly, in the Old Testament, overlooks their sin. He sets up, He orchestrates this whole idea where people can draw near to him through a sacrificial system in the Old Testament. But it was only temporary, because he had, from before the foundation of the world, the remedy to give his one and only son, to pay the price for your sin, my sin, and all the sin of the world, so that all who believe on him will not perish. God knows that we are not perfect, but he is. And in his perfection, he is able to display his mercy, his grace, his holiness, his wonder. And he raised up Isaiah to be one of those prophets. And he began to give him oracles and messages to tell the people. Because in chapter 1, just real quickly, he reminded them that they were his children. And he brought them up. And he was a great father, a perfect father. There is no father like God Almighty. He is perfect in all his ways. And he raised them up, but yet his children didn't receive that instruction. They rebelled against him. They disobeyed. In fact, they refused to even know him. And God is grieved, and God is, yes, angry, and God is upset over their conduct. And he raises up Isaiah to bring the message of the word of God, because God spoke through the prophets of old his message to his people, and he wanted his people to respond to him. And he said, even as we looked last week in verses 18 and following of chapter 1, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." What a wonderful message that God Almighty, who is holy, says, "I want to invite you to come and be with me. Let's talk about it. Let's reason together. Come, come and repent of your ways. Turn away from the sin, binds you and tangles you and chains you up, and be set free and follow after me. And if you do, I will bless you. But if you don't, destruction will come." And we know that through that rest of the chapter there, he says, yes, it's going to come. And, Babylon's going to come, Assyria's going to come, and it's going to cause havoc upon you as the people of God, unless you repent. But then, in chapter 2, he begins this beautiful picture so that the people of God do not lose hope. No matter how bad the situation is around you, no matter how gray the clouds are, look, no matter how strong the storm is raging, God is a God of hope. And there is hope if you have put your faith and trust in him. And so he begins by sharing that in chapter 2. A few weeks ago, our nation was if you're a football fan, you know about this, was just caught up in shock. It was almost like a deer caught in headlights, almost a 2x4 coming up against the whole audience of the National Football League. A young man by the name of Damar Hamlin went and hit a player and then all of a sudden collapsed. And the two teams that, plus the stadium, plus ESPN announcers, plus other football teams and players, plus sportscasters and fans and news media all around the globe, started praying for Buffalo Bills player Damar Hamlin. And he was playing the Bengals. They prayed for him. Other teams were playing for him because he suffered, as you know, a cardiac arrest on the field and was in critical condition. And people would stand outside and pray for him. In fact, invocations were offered up in public for this 24-year-old. And people would say, thoughts and prayers have been offered up and revealed. And one news journalist in the New York Times even commented how videos were circulating and people were reciting the Lord's Prayer in the stands and asking God to heal this young man. In fact, one analyst for ESPN, Dan Orlovsky, he said this prayer on TV. He told his colleagues, he was a former NFL quarterback, and he said this. He said, quote, it's just on my heart that I want to pray. Bowing his head and closing his eyes, he did so. God, we come to you in these moments. We don't understand, he said. I believe in prayer. We believe in prayer, and we lift up Damar Hamlin's name in your name. His co-anchors murmured, amen. Please pray for our brother, the Bills quarterback, Josh Allen, wrote on Twitter, where players and coaches across the league shared similar messages. All 32 NFL teams changed their Twitter profile pictures to a message reading, pray for Damar, in the style of his jersey. Fans huddled in vigils, and people outside the hospital, and people outside the stadium in Buffalo, and even Jill Kelly, the former the wife of the former quarterback, Jim Kelly, led a crowd in prayer and said this, I think we all have to recognize the power of prayer from coaches, players, the staff, and the fans that was in that stadium and the people watching from around the world, the vice president of NFL operations told reporters. He says, there is power in prayer. Have you ever been to a big event? Something like that, and something amazing or shocking took place and happened? Were you so excited or that you had to tell others? You won't believe what happened. We were in that stadium, and all of a sudden, this young player comes around, and he gets hit, and wham, he's on the ground. You wouldn't believe what happened. All the people started praying the Lord's Prayer. That guy right down the aisle from me was praying the Lord's Prayer. You know, the one that had like 3 or 4 or 5 beers. He was praying the Lord's Prayer. You wouldn't believe what happened. Have you ever been to an event? You know that there is tragedy, and in the midst of it, God somehow reveals who he is in spite of the sludge of sin that we are so accustomed to wallow in. And he wants us to look up. And he wants us to seek him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. He wants us to engage him in relationship through prayer, through worship, through honoring and studying his word. He wants us, and he loves us so. In Isaiah chapter 2, he gives this message. Look with me at verses 5, the first 5 verses of chapter 2. It says, the word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord, the mountain of the house of the Lord, shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. It reminds me of our former study in the Song of Ascents in Psalm 122, where it says, David said, I was glad, I rejoiced greatly. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Come on, there's some great things happening. Let us go into the house of the Lord. We want to go. Why? Because that's where God is. And I want to be where God is. Do you want to be where God is? Do you want to sense His presence, His power? Yes, His glory. Yes, His beauty, His holiness, His majesty. And to honor Him in worship and tribute and praise. Isaiah, there's coming a day, even though, yes, your sins are like scarlet, they'll be white as snow, but there's coming a day. There's coming a day. The word of Isaiah spoke this, it shall come to pass in the latter days. He's saying to them, come and worship, come and worship, come and worship the Lord. Andrew Davis says this, God levels all human idols, establishing and exalting His temple, causing the nations to stream to Him. The theologian Matthew Henry states this. He says, the invitation to the people of God was very welcome. David was himself glad and would have every Israelite say that he was glad when he was called upon to go up to the house of the Lord. It is the will of God that we should worship Him in concert, that many should join together to wait upon Him in public ordinances. We ought to worship God in our own houses, but that is not enough. We must go into the house of the Lord to pay our homage to Him there and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Matthew Henry goes on and states, he says, we should not only agree with one another, but excite and stir up one another to go to worship God in public. Let us go to the house of the Lord. Not, do you go and pray for us? Go and pray for us. We'll stay at home. But we will also go. You don't say, do you go before and we'll follow at our leisure? Or we'll let you go first and then you come after us? No, let us go together to honor the Lord, to worship Him, he says. We ourselves are slow and backward and others are too. And therefore we should thus quicken and sharpen one another to that which is good, as iron sharpens irons, he says. He goes on, he says, those that rejoice in God will rejoice in calls and opportunities to wait upon Him. David himself, though he had as little need of a spur to his zeal and religious exercises as any, yet was so far from taking it as an affront that he was glad of it as a kindness when he was called upon to go up to the house of the Lord. With the meanest of his subjects, we should desire our Christian friends, when they have any good work in hand, to call for us and to take us along with them. Let us go to the house of the Lord. Now, just to let that sit in a little bit. I know at times in my past, when I've gotten up and to go to the house of the Lord on Sunday or to an event of worship, I remember my dad saying it because he was an Irish guy and Norwegian and a mixture of much, and he would just speak his mind, you know, just blurt out. He was kind of a combo of Archie Bunker and Jackie Gleason all rolled in one, but he loved Jesus. And as we're going along, he'd say, look at all those people staying home today. Sometimes I find myself saying that. Look at all those people staying home today. But according to the word, have I said to them, come and worship with me today? Have I just reached out to them, come and worship with me today? David said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Matthew Henry says, even some of his subjects went to the king and said, hey, let us go to the house of the Lord. If anybody should have known they were going to go to the house of the Lord to worship God, it was David, a man after God's own heart. And he didn't belittle them. He said, yeah, let's go to the house of the Lord to worship Him. Maybe that's why Paul was so used of God mightily, because he learned that secret, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power, power of God. We get caught up in the fear and the shame and not even speaking the word, not even inviting others to celebrate the joy that we've discovered in Christ Jesus. We've just sung about his name is the greatest name of all. There is power in his name. He understands what I go through. Guess what? He understands what my neighbor is going through. And we need to be excited about seeking him while there's still time to seek him and say to our neighbor, come with me. Many times in our heart and our minds, we allow the enemy to think up a list of excuses. Oh, they're going to just think I'm just some right-wing fundamentalist, or they're going to hate me because I'm a Christian do-gooder, or they're going to say I'm this, that, and the other thing. Oh, don't allow those thoughts to permeate your thinking. Whatsoever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think on these things. God has called us to celebrate him. Let us go to the house of the Lord. Let us give the invitation. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And Isaiah is saying here, it's looking pretty grim, people of God, and you have not return to the Lord. You've not repented of your sins, but I want to give you hope in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the gloom and doom, that there is a day coming, a great future to look forward to. Notice verse 2. It says, it shall come to pass in the latter days. In the latter days. The latter days. These are the last days. We are closer than ever before for Jesus to return. It's true. He is coming again. Christ said it. Isaiah says there's coming a day. And he says there's a great future to look forward to. Revelation chapter 7 verses 9 and 10 says, John says, after this I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Oh, John was excited because he saw not just a few folks, not just those from his family and friends and the disciples. He saw a multitude, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes, every language, standing before the throne and worshiping God Almighty. I want to be where he is. Do you? Revelation 21:4 says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Hallelujah. There's a great day coming, a great future for those who have put their faith and hope in God Almighty. And we need to look forward to that. Isaiah goes on and he says, there's a great foundation to be established. The mountain of the Lord, the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established. A great foundation to be established. This mountain of the Lord, there's several things. It's going to be the highest of the mountains. It says there, Isaiah says, the highest of the mountains. And then secondly, it shall be lifted up above the hills. And then thirdly, all the nations shall flow to it. Now, when you dive in and you look at different commentators, some say, well, that's the church. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is gone out. And people are responding to it. But others say, no, it's going to be literal. There's something that's going to take place. There will be, as we know Scripture teaches, a new Jerusalem that will come, a new city of God. But people will flock to it, and it will be the highest of all mountains. Just think of that. Everyone will gaze, and will say, let us go to the mountain of the Lord. Let's be with him. There was a climber, and you can see this on one of the streaming platforms, I think it was Netflix, about this mountain climber, Nims Purja. And Nims Purja, he is a very famous mountain climber. He blasted through the world's 14 highest mountains in little more than 6 months in 2019, which gives him certainly some pretty high credentials. He's a former Gurkha and soldier of the Special Boat Services, and he climbed Everest and Lhotse and Makalu within 2 days and 30 minutes, smashed the previous 14 summits record of 7 years, 11 months, and 14 days. In 2021, he was part of a team that completed the first summit of K2 in winter, high mountain, something that was often referred to as the last great mountaineering challenge. Here, Isaiah says that the mountain of the Lord is going to be high and lifted up. And it will be above, and all the nations will flow to it. And then notice what is going to respond from these nations and these peoples in verse 3. They say, come. Many people shall come. There's a great family and a great faith to be embraced. Have you thought about it? If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're part of a great faith. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're part of a great family. A family, right? Bill Gaither sang about it. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. It is a great family, a great faith. Let us go to the house of the Lord. Come, let us go up to the mountain. People are going to say that. Many people shall come, and they'll say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and they describe it to the house of the God of Jacob. The house of the God of Jacob. We know who Jacob was. And we know in Genesis chapter 32, there was this wrestling that took place as Jacob, whose name was a deceiver of many, and his name was going to be changed by God. But in chapter 32 of Genesis 23 through 32, Jacob's wrestling with the angel. And one commentator says it epitomizes the whole of Jacob's life. He struggled with his brother. And then in chapters 25 and 27, he struggles with his father. In chapter 27, he struggles with his father-in-law in chapters 29 through 31. And now he struggles with God in chapter 32. And Jacob's own words express the substance of these narratives. He says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. That's what he's saying to that angel of the Lord that he's wrestling. And there's a graphic picture of Jacob struggling for the blessing, struggling with God and with man. He struggles. And then significantly, we know what happens. Jacob emerges victorious in his struggle. And then he says he's even victorious in his struggle with God. And he came when the angel blessed him. Yes, it touched his socket and he had this limp. And he names the place Peniel, P-E-N-I-E-L. And it's the face of God. I've wrestled with the face of God and survived and won. God allowed that, of course, because he was teaching Jacob that the best place to be is to be in my presence with me. Why? Because the Lord wants to teach us his ways. That's the second part of that verse there. That we want to go to the house of God of Jacob to be in his presence that he may teach us his ways. The psalmist desire, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you will go. And I will not depart. It will not depart from you. We need to teach God's ways. We may walk in his paths. That we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. We need to be students of the word, to not just know about it mentally, but to apply it to our lives so that we reflect Jesus Christ and all his goodness to others. Not that we gloat over that, no, in humility we shine his light, as that video so aptly put it. We shine his light to others so that they may see the goodness of our God. And then I see as well a great authority that will minister equity. He will judge, verse 4, between the nations. And what will he do? He'll decide disputes for many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares. In other words, God will give fair treatment. He will decide their disputes, and it will be good. It will be such an impact upon their lives that they may come in anger and in war, but then they will take their weapons and they will beat it into plowshares and pruning hooks, and they will lay it down. There will be evidence of peace that will take place. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Wow. What a judge who rules with equity and fairness and justice so that the outcome is peace. And then notice in verse 5, a great light to guide our journey. Isaiah comes away from this. He says, "Oh, house of Jacob, I'm going to implore you. I want to invite you. I want you to be inspired to come. So come, O house of Jacob. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." There's a great light to guide our journey. There's a great light to guide your journey. When you come to Christ as a follower of his, as a child of the Most High God, he does not abandon you. He does not leave you alone to walk in darkness. No, he gives you a path to follow. He will give you the right steps to put your feet upon. It may not be the big picture that you long for, but it will be the next step. It will be the next step. Psalm 32, the psalmist says, "I've acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." Sort of, kind of ties in with what Isaiah was saying earlier in chapter 1. "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow." The psalmist goes on. He says, "Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are my hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance." And then the psalmist says in verse 8 of Psalm 32, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." Oh, house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. He'll direct your steps as you place your trust and care in him. Psalmist goes on, then immediately says, "Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord." Oh, there's God's wisdom available for us, O child of God. Trust in him. Seek him in these moments and in these days. Pray to him. Ask for guidance and wisdom. And the psalmist ends, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." That was Isaiah's desire. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. We know that the people of God in Isaiah's day said, "No, we're not going to listen to you at all." And so they had to learn the hard way. Their hearts were hard. They missed the blessing of God. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Are you struggling this morning? Are you doubting God's presence in your life? Trust in God. the Lord. Come walk in the light of the Lord. That's part of worship. We come to worship Him, to give Him glory and honor. Come. And then like David, may we respond. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord. So what is the Lord saying to you from His holy word this morning? How will you respond to Him? Let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful today to be in the house of the Lord. And Lord, we do ask that You'll give us that desire to be excited about coming to worship You. And be so excited, Lord, that we invite others to come and worship You. And we leave the results with You. So, Father, I pray that You will empower us as Your people to not neglect Your word, but to not only hide it in our hearts, but also to allow Your Spirit to shine in and through us to others who we meet. Lord, I pray today You know what Your family is going through. Each individual, You know the heartaches, You know the stresses, You know the sickness, You know the chaos. You also know, Lord, the joys, the blessings, the answers to prayer, the miracles of healing. And Lord, that You give hope in the midst of confusion. And we look at the world today and it's confused as ever. But Lord, You bring clarity to our lives as we trust in You. So I pray that You will help us as a people of God to trust in You more, to want to know You more, to want to dwell in the fellowship of Your presence more, to allow Your love, Your power, Your holiness, Your glory, Your faithfulness, Your gentleness, Your cleansing, Your goodness, Your healing to just wash over us. Even now, Lord Jesus, come and do that. Thank You. Great is Your faithfulness. Thank You. Your mercies are new every morning. We honor You today, O God, our Lord and Savior, and it's in whose name we pray.